I saw a documentary last night. This director, Nick Nanton, he's a great storyteller.
Please help me in welcoming Mr. Larry King.
Go ahead, Nick. Fire away.
Joining us now to tell us more is the producer of the new film, Nick Nanton.
What made me say yes to Nick was that creative capability. Let it take its shape. And it was easy to do that with Nick.
By the second time I watched it, I was just like, pretty sure my life is going to change forever after this.
Nick is a winner. Everything he does to the best of his ability. He did an amazing job with my story. It did so well on ESPN. It then streamed on ESPN Plus, and now streaming it on Disney Plus.
That was the clip from a documentary being made. So tell us more about the documentary and why do it.
You need to know my friend Nick Nanton. He makes these documentaries on amazing people doing amazing things.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, he has like 33 Emmys, just phenomenal human and storyteller. Doesn't charge
he's
us.
He's just like
nonprofit.
My friend, and he's
yeah,
like
just a random
all
friend.
The accolades.
Everybody that sat in the seat to do this interview, they have some odd story about how they met Nick because the dude juggles chainsaws, right? There really is a genuine desire on his part to make people successful.
Their documentaries, videos, and movies, everything they create, it changes people's lives. It touches them in a way that I've never seen anybody else do before or since.
Hey, everybody. How are you guys? Only takes about 20 years to have about a minute and a half clip, right? That's how that works. But I'm excited to be here with you. Excited to thank you, Howard and AC, for having me. Pretty funny when Howard's like, you'd never guess who my partner on this conference is. And I hadn't seen AC for years, so it's great to be here. I'm going to share some stuff with you that's completely different today. I have a new book I'm working on. We'll talk about books a little bit, but books have changed my life. I never read them in high school. I just read the Cliff Notes, so I didn't think that books would be a big part of my life. But now that I've matured a little bit, I get it. This is a new book I'm writing called Creativity Protects You. It's the things that when I teach and when I talk about on podcasts and other things, people keep leaning in. Some of you may have a negative relationship with the word creativity. Maybe we'll fix that today, but every one of you is creative in your own way. So I'm just going to share a little bit. I probably speak more at that 200 words a minute. So, and I've got a lot, I've been told there's a hook if I'm not done at 9:15. So I'm going to be done at 9:15. So we're going to dig right into it. We're going to skip that because we already did that. All right, so these 10 principles I'm going to share with you today, they've helped me to direct 70 documentaries, become a 22-time Emmy Award-winning director. My friend Richard on the Kelly Clarkson show gave me 11 extra Emmys in a sentence. I was pretty excited about that, but I don't have 33. I've co-authored 75 best-selling books. I'm currently in the top 10% of songwriters in the world, which literally makes me hundreds of dollars a year. And I've helped more than 5,000 clients around the world build their celebrity brands. And I'm having fun doing it. So I want to share these things with you because all these principles work. These are some of the people I've been blessed to work with. I've got great stories about many of them. Some I can tell you, some I can't. But I'm going to share with you how I've done that. And what I want you to know, too, is... Well, this is sort of the subtitle for this book. By the way, it's all new presentations. So I'm learning it with you, all right? I want to show you how to make the grade, close the deal, get the girl or the guy, raise the happy kids, win the award, serve the world, and have fun doing it. That's what I aspire to do, and I'm going to share my list of doing that. What I want you to know most importantly is my story is not your story. I doubt many of you want to direct documentaries or write music. If you do, don't. It's painful. But whatever it is that you want to do, these principles will work to help you get to the highest levels. It's funny because I grew up in rooms like this. I grew up, you know, in Dan Kennedy's room and Brian Tracy's room and all these things. And I didn't have documentaries on my heart at all. It just turned out that I sucked so bad at music, I had to find something else to do. But, you know, learning from the best in the business allows you to dream. And when you dream big... big things happen. And you also get smacked in the face a lot, which I'll share some of that too. So I don't want you to tune out because you're not an entertainment person. I get it. I didn't know I was going to be either. So anyway, all right, core value number one here. If it's not 50% fun, I am out. Like, I'm just not interested in doing something that's not fun. I know we got to do hard work. We'll talk about that too. But these are some of my things that I do. Like, so I just started a bourbon company with Chris Voss. You guys ever read Never Split the Difference? It's called The Difference. Some of you will get that later. We got a new bourbon company. That's a lot of fun. These are some of my adventures around the world. Guy Harvey, filming with Dominic Cruz. Remy Adelecki's actor, former Navy SEAL, doing Dick Vitale's story. Life is meant to be enjoyed, so you might as well enjoy what you're doing. You could choose, by the way, every day whether you're going to enjoy what you're doing or not. Look, we've all had those moments when revenue's down. Sometimes you don't even know how you're going to pay payroll, where the next deal is going to come from. And you get to choose whether or not you live that day with the joy you've been given by God, or you can sulk through the day. That's completely your choice. So choose to make it at least 50% fun. All right, number two. What makes you different makes you. Let me play a real clip from a documentary made on Dan Sullivan. Anyone know who Dan Sullivan is? Strategic coach? Awesome. Well, you're about to learn. The man he spits wisdom. Here you go.
Concept of unique ability talks about things that you were born with. Okay, so this is an acquired capability. As you came off the assembly line with this ability. One way of thinking about unique ability is that when you were 3 or 4 years old, you were already moving in the direction of the sweet spot. This is what you would rather do than going to school. And everybody is unique with this. I would say for most people, they're trained out of it, they're educated out of it, and they're told, well, you can't just go out in the world and do that activity. And yet when I look at all the entrepreneurs and get their history and get their story, it is in fact what they did, that regardless of what other people were telling them was valuable or what would be practical, they've stuck to an early childhood inclination that they had about what they really loved doing. But the world has no obligation and no responsibility to actually pay you for that. So you've got to work out the means how the thing that you love doing most would turn into something that people appreciate the most, people would pay the most for doing it. And if you look at the great entrepreneurs, the classic entrepreneurs, my suspicion is if they're 50 years old or they're 60 years old, they are now closest to the way they were when they were 6 years old.
This is how life works, right? So from 0 to 5, they encourage you in whatever you're good at, cute, funny, smart, actor, whatever. From 5 to 18, they beat it out of you in school. From 18 to 22, they charge you $100,000. And from 22 to 65, you work to earn back that $100,000. So at 65, you can do what you love to do from 0 to 5. Let's just not do that. Let's just skip that step, okay? So the concept of unique ability is just basically what like everyone thinks like, oh, that guy's good at business or good at whatever it is. And really the key is these are all like sets of micro skills. There's like 100 things that make up every skill. And so what your goal is to do is to figure out, you know, first of all, the only way to figure out what you love is to figure out what you hate first. It's like sort of like remodeling a house. It's like you redo the wallpaper and all of a sudden, oh, the floors don't go. If my wife says it doesn't go, I know I'm screwed. Like this whole room's changing. Like the floor doesn't go, and then once you change the floor, now you need new furniture, and once you change the furniture, you need a new house. No, but anyway, it's whatever causes you the most friction, that start removing those things, and then what you love will start to become apparent. And you can get real esoteric. I've spent over a decade and over $500,000 figuring out my unique ability to tell you how esoteric it is. Pretty much all I do in life is my unique ability is I have meaningful conversations that lead to produced outcomes. I do it on the phone, I do it on podcasts, I do it on Zooms, I do it in conferences. If Howard and AC had asked me to write a book for you guys here today, I would have said no, or if it was important enough, I'd have hired a ghostwriter and had a meaningful conversation that was going to produce that outcome for me and write that book. All right, so it's all about digging down and understanding what it is you do and you don't do. I'm working on a documentary right now with Guy Harvey. Some of you might have heard of him. Guy is a big in the fishing world. Guy's really unique, and apparently my artist put me smoking cigars in here, which is totally cool, 50% fun. Guy is he has a PhD in marine science, and he was a painter on the side. And his artwork ended up getting licensed for t-shirts. He has a billion-dollar brand, and by combining two things that his teachers and parents probably told him, you can't do both. And what I want you to know is that's the intersection. That's the intersection of unique ability, and that's why it works for him. This is my friend Chris Nikic. Chris is the first person in the world with Down syndrome to complete an Ironman. Most people get really worried about the hearts of kids with Down syndrome, and there are heart issues, but a lot of it is just because of lack of exercise. And so his dad is a Brian Tracy fan, and his dad told Chris, he's like, hey, I don't want you to do anything drastic. I just want you to get 1% better every day, just 1% better. And now Chris is leading a group of other kids with special needs and neurodiversity to do Ironmans as well. And his dad would say, as a dad with a kid with Down syndrome, I worry about when I'm gone, what's he going to do? Can he have a job? He said, and when I see him complete an Ironman, I know he can have 100 jobs. And he said, when I do this and I watch other parents, he said, the hardest part is the other parents letting their kids struggle. That's actually the hardest part. They try to save them. He goes, when I watch it and when I watch them turn on, I see that I've just changed that kid's life through, in this case, through exercise. Chris has actually also done every major marathon in the world now. He had all six major marathons, and they created a new category of runners based on him called Runner 321 for Trisomy 21, and they've realized that there's a whole other category for this sport, and that's his unique ability, bringing the world to it. I'm going to show you a quick trailer from a documentary that's not out yet that I just finished on one of the most incredible people in the world I've ever met. Her name is Brisa, so watch this real quick.
This is the largest demonstration that the city has seen in the last years.
Officials say between 70 and 80% of women in Bolivia suffer some type of domestic violence.
Entre septiembre de 2001 y mayo 2002, cuando Brisa Lozada tenía 16 años de edad, fue agredida y violada sexualmente en reiteradas ocasiones por su primo hermano, 10 años mayor que ella.
Lastimosamente, lo que me ocurrió a mí hace 20 años son cosas que siguen pasando.
I'm here because I was devastated by sexual violence, but destroyed even harder by the government's actions.
Tenemos en la región un problema muy serio. En muchos de los casos, la única prueba que tenemos y la más importante es la palabra de la víctima.
Estereotipos tóxicos de género y comportamientos en la familia que han promovido lo que es la cultura del incesto.
I was one of the first adolescents to take a rape crime to court.
The prosecutor said, I know you're lying. I'm going to find where you're lying. So I'm going to make you retell your story until I find the lie.
This is the prosecutor, the one who's supposed to protect me, to fight for me.
My house was set on fire twice. My aunts will make death threats.
Consolida mucho el bloque que protege al agresor se convierte en una verdadera mafia. Todo vale con tal de destrozar a la víctima.
It hit the media in Bolivia, and there were calls for Brisa to be lynched publicly.
They had an absolute credible reason to fear for their lives.
They said, I'm going to use my own case to create legal reform. I'm going to sue the government of Bolivia.
And we're like, cool, how do we do that?
Parker and I decided let's become lawyers and do it ourselves.
I said, has Bolivia ratified the Inter-American Convention on Human Rights?
If you thought that the U.S. Supreme Court was very exclusive, this is even more.
There was the possibility of getting a binding decision against Bolivia.
She's a warrior. This is hard what she's doing. And in Latin America, even harder.
This is a decision that will be looked at around the Americas and really around the world.
Estoy aquí usando mi historia, tratando de cambiar el futuro.
That's unique ability, right? That's when the world won't listen. They actually offered her reparations. Said, no, I don't want reparations. I want you to fix this so other children don't have to do this, don't have to go through this. So she went to law school, sued the government, and actually changed the laws in 26 countries, 13 laws in 26 countries. That's unique ability. But if she didn't stand up and follow that dream and that path for her, you never would know about it. It's what's allowed me to do some pretty wild things. You know, I'm a lawyer by trade. I don't need to talk about that in public. That directs documentaries. I have a bourbon company. I'm a songwriter. Like, that's just me. And I talk really fast. And so I want you guys to find your unique abilities. Well, this is another quick clip from Larry King. I got the opportunity to sit down and interview Larry King. I'll tell you the story really quick. So I bought a charity breakfast to have breakfast with Larry King. Because I'm like, well, couldn't be bad. And so I sat down with him at the breakfast in Beverly Hills. He goes, hey, Nick, I got to tell you something. I've been coming to breakfast here for 50 years with my friends, and I know you bought a private breakfast, but no matter what I tell them, they're coming. He's like, so I showed up a little early, and I'd love to help you, whatever you need, and you can stay as long as you want. Just know they're coming. And so they're like, Henry Winkler show. This is wild. Like, I'm not a Hollywood guy. I was born in Barbados. I'm an immigrant kid. I live in Orlando. I was raised here my whole life. So it was wild. So I said, Larry, I got three things I want to talk to you about. Number one, I bet you got some great stories. Number two, you've done more interviews than anyone I've ever known of in history. I'd love to learn some techniques. And number three, maybe we could do some work together, but I'll park that in the back because, you know, you don't even know me. So he says, great, where do you want to start? So anyway, we have a great conversation. I don't have time to tell you the things I learned from him, but they were great. At the end, I said, hey, I want to send you a documentary I did on the first private space flight, Peter Diamandis, called Visioneer. How do I reach you? He said, well, here's the house phone and here's my cell phone. I'm like, okay, should I text you? He goes, text me. I'm a communicator, damn it. Call me. So anyway, so I end up sending Larry this documentary. I call, and every single interaction I ever had on the phone with Larry King went like this. Hello? Hey, Larry, Nick Nanton. Who? Nick Nanton, the director. Oh, hello, Nick. And so I said, hey, I sent him the documentary. He watched it. He said, very good, very good. I said, okay, great. Could I tell your life story? He said, well, talk to my manager. It's also my father-in-law. I'm like, wait a minute, you're 8? Okay, whatever. In any event, so I talked to his father-in-law. And his father-in-law was like, hey, you remember meeting George across the table? I'm like, yeah, that guy created a show called Laughing. He's like, right. He's like, Larry promised him the rights to his documentary, so would you be willing to work with George? I'm like, well, maybe too many cooks in the kitchen, but I'll, sure, why not? But George probably doesn't want to work with me because I'm not an old Hollywood guy. I mean, the average age around this table was 180, and that's not me. And so anyway, I get a call. I actually was doing Rudy's documentary. If you guys have seen the movie Rudy, I was doing Rudy's documentary. I was at Notre Dame. Remember the phone call? When I got the call, I expected saying, yeah, he doesn't want to work with you. George doesn't work with you. He wants to do it himself. I'm like, great, because George is 150, and this is not going to get done. So I call Larry again. Hello? Who? Nick? Yeah, okay, did the whole thing. And I say, hey, Larry, since I can't do your documentary, would you mind being a guest on my internet TV show? He said, no problem. So I created an internet TV show, and Larry was my first guest. And so I bring Larry in. I interview him at a hotel in Beverly Hills, bring some of my clients in. I have my clients help fund me doing it so they could meet Larry King. They became executive producers on a show about Larry King. And I do this interview, and then I tell my editor, I say, hey, make it a doc. And so he makes this incredible documentary. So I call Larry, who? You know, the whole deal. And he says, I said, hey, Larry, do you mind if I show you this thing? Because it's a little different than we talked about. He's like, sure, come to the house. I'm like, well, I got to book a flight. And, you know, so like a week later, I'm sitting in Larry King's office in Beverly Hills. He is rip-roaring ticked off because his two younger sons, because he had sons that were like 17 and 21, and he's 80-something. I don't do the math. But he has one of these Crestron systems in his house, which like no one can figure out how to use, and especially him. And his sons had removed some plugs to play Xbox the night before. So I'm sitting in Larry's office for like 2 hours waiting for tech support to come fix the TV so we can watch his story. So eventually, we get it worked out. We're sitting watching the story. I'm in this chair. Larry's in it, like on the couch next to me. I'm just like, you know, like, is this real life? And I'm watching Larry watch his life flash before his eyes. And at the end of it, he goes, excellent, excellent work. I'm like, he's like, now what do we do with it? I'm like, well, you own a distribution company, Carlos Slim. He goes, much, much bigger. I go, all right, how about this, Larry? We didn't talk about this, a little bit different, but I have another business partner, but I'm going to do a series like this. Why don't you become my business partner on it? You can, if we make money, you can have a third of the profits. He goes, send the paperwork. So from a charity breakfast, that's how I became business partners with Larry King. All right, here's a quick clip from Larry.
Over to the beach, had a little apartment. I knocked on doors, went to one station, small station, WAHR, did a voice test. I'd never spoken in front of a microphone. I read the news. And he says, I like your voice. We have a lot of turnover here. And the next opening, you could be a disc jockey. I hung around the station just watching. I'd hang around all day and then go to my uncle's house. And then one day, the general manager called me in on a Friday. And he said, Tom Baer, the morning disc jockey, he's on from 9 to 12, is leaving. So you start Monday morning. Whoa. You have your own show from 9 to 12 playing records. You're going to make $55 a week. In the afternoon, you'll do sports and news. I went out of my mind. I'm going to be on the radio. That whole weekend, I didn't sleep. I picked out records I was going to play. I was practicing what I was going to say. And then it's the morning of the big day, May 1st, 1957, my first day on the air. I am so high, I'm just jumping. And the general manager calls me into his office. This is your first day, and good luck. I said, thank you. And he said, what name are you going to use? I said, Larry Zeiger. You can't use Zeiger. It's too ethnic. People won't know how to spell it. You need another name. I said, well, what are you? And he had the Miami Herald open. I would later write a column for the Miami. And it was an ad for King's Wholesale Liquors. He said, how about Larry King? Okay, you're Larry King. A year later, I legally changed it. Now I went to the studio, I got my records picked. It's 9 o'clock, biggest thrill, turn on the mic, lower the record, nothing comes out. Nothing. I bring the record back up, I turn it down, nothing comes out. the general manager kicks open the door of the control room. And he said, this is a communications business, damn it. Communicate. And he shut the door. I turned the record down, turned the mic on. And I swear to this, Nick. I said, good morning. My name is Larry King. That's the first time I've ever said that. Because I've just been given my name. And this is my first day on the air. And I've wanted this all my life. And I've been scared. I've been nervous. I was thinking I'm going to blow a career on my first day. So I'm going to try to do my best. And I learned something that day which 61 years later still works. The only secret is there's no secret. Be honest. Be yourself. So I was always myself. I never thought about a question I'm going to ask. I went to the moment. I go to the moment. Nothing would happen that would throw me. If a fire broke out in the studio, I would broadcast the fire. I was never nervous again, ever.
All right, little audio issue there, but that's Larry. What makes you different makes you, all right. Number three, we got 10, I gotta hurry. All right, people first. We have, that's just a strategy in life. You always put people first, right? You're gonna need, Dan Sullivan talks about who, not how. By the time you've gotten to where you are in your life, there's things you're never going to be good at, and you should just be cool with that. You need who's. You don't need any more how's. You need who's. You need vendors like people in here to just help you get the solution you need to get to. And if you're going to have the best who's around you, you got to put people first, or else you're going to burn them out, right? This is a quick clip from my friend, Dr. Nito Cobain. Anyone heard of Nito before? Yeah, an incredible speaker, runs High Point University now. He's sort of a modern-day Walt Disney. Check this out.
And the first turning point in my life was when my father died. I was 6 years of age. If I had the power to change something in my life, I would have much rather have had a father. A father who would seat me in his lap, read me a book, sing me a song, take me to the circus, throw me a ball, or just talk with me man to man. But that was not my fate. So there was my mother. Imagine this. Three boys, two girls, and my mother bringing us up. She worked day and night to feed us and to clothe us, and more importantly, to instill in us values for life and principles for living. She'd say things like this. If you want to be a great person, you must first walk side by side and hand in hand with great people. That simply meant, who you spend time with is who you become. These are the kinds of things that I grew up with. So amazing thing that out of adversity, having lost my father, abundance emerged.
One thing I hate about that quote, people say, hang out with 9 people, you become the 10th, but everyone uses it just for money. That's also the same with prayer. That's all the same with relationships, with fidelity, with everything else. So be careful the company you keep, but put people first. All right. Number four, be an accelerator. We have a core value in our business that's called Batteries Included. Some of you who are younger, you probably don't remember a day when Christmas Day when there was nothing open. And if you got a toy that had batteries and the batteries weren't worth it, it sucked. Like, it might not be the coolest toy, but it's the only toy you wanted to play with that entire day. And you had to wait till the next day. So I want everyone who works with me and the people I work with, and me too, to show up with Batteries Included. That means like motivated, excited. I don't have to motivate you to do your job. My entire team, my documentary team, people are shocked because, I don't tell them what to do at all, because they're better than me. I have a principle that I use, a Jeff Bezos principle, never hire someone you don't admire. So everyone around me, I admire. So, but you got to make sure you come with Batteries Included. Second, you got to give people time to recharge their batteries. I have a business partner who's retired now he's old school, man. He's 30 years older than me. I think after you're working with us for 5 years, you got 8 days vacation, maybe. Once you retired, I implemented a 5 weeks vacation because I know that I want to take off time to see my kids play sports and to do the things that they do. And so you got to have time to charge your batteries if you expect people to have Batteries Included. This pretty simple one, this has been quoted a bunch of different ways. If you help enough other people get what they want, you'll get what you want. But figure out how you can help others achieve their goals and dreams, and amazing things happen. When you show up and serve, opportunity comes your way. All right, number five, storytelling is the secret. Everything is lame until you know the story behind it, right? I have a set of cigars that I have. It's $1,000 a cigar. Well, if I just told you it's $1,000 a cigar, you'd be like, that's utterly insane. And it is, but I was out on a shoot, and a friend of mine messaged me and said, you should buy this cigar. I said, why should I buy the cigar? Well, it turns out this cigar was half-smoked by Winston Churchill in 1953. And so when I got the cigar, I did what everyone else did. Everyone's like, you should smoke it. I'm like, we should. But I'm like, I don't want to smoke it by myself. I want to smoke it with my friends. So I rehumidified it. I cut off 2 inches. I sent it to my friend's cigar maker. And we sprinkled a little bit of Winston's cigar and 250 other cigars. And we sold 250 cigars that you can be the last person on earth to share a cigar with Winston Churchill. Now, is that worth $1,000? Absolutely, right? But it's the story. If I didn't tell you the story, you wouldn't understand it. All right, here's another quick video clip. I don't know if the audio is going to be good, but we're going to find out.
And if they have a dream, it's too big for them. You know, I can't possibly do that. And my belief is this. Walt Disney said, if you can dream it, you can do it. I believe that if you think of a dream, you have the capacity to make that dream come true. You wouldn't be allowed spiritually or even psychologically to come up with that dream if you didn't have the capacity. Now, you may have to develop talents you haven't developed yet. You may have to partner with other people. You may have to go get education you don't currently have. You may need to borrow money. You may need to develop parts of yourself that are dormant at the moment. You may have to push through some fears, some doubts, whatever. But you have the capacity. So if it's occurred to you that you'd like to create that or experience that, that means it's possible for you. You just have to now get to work and make it happen.
Jack Canfield got turned down to publish Chicken Soup for the Soul 144 times. I can guarantee you I'd have turned back about 143 earlier than that, right? He said, you know, he got the title one day. He was meditating. He got the title, Chicken Soup for the World is Hurting, Chicken Soup for the Soul. He said he got goosebumps. He said, I told my partner, Mark, who wrote the book with me, he got goosebumps. He said, then I talked to 144 publishers. Nobody got goosebumps. And so he had to keep selling that story to get to the point where now he's sold over 600 million books around the world in every language. It's the second best-selling book in the world to the Bible. Right, and what I love about that clip is Jack gives a very mundane expression we've all heard way too many times, Walt Disney, if you can dream it, you can do it. Well, we've all heard it and we just passed it by. However, what he shared with me, he said, you know, you're given dreams. You get little whispers, you get ideas. Sometimes you wake up in the night, you're given dreams. And a lot of times as adults, because the creativity has been beaten out of us, we just say, oh, that's silly, I can't do that, whatever. But I would guarantee if I asked every one of you right now to think of a dream that you've had your entire life, the one that makes you a little bit sick in the stomach because you haven't done it yet. That dream is for you. You are supposed to accomplish that. The fact that it makes you sick in the stomach means that, and that you haven't forgotten it by now, means it's for you now. You might have to gain a different skill set. You might have to cut certain people out of your life. You might have to invite new people into your life. You might have to become a different person in order to achieve it, but that dream is for you. Feel it? All right. Biggest lesson I learned about being a songwriter. Songwriting is just storytelling in two and a half to 3 minutes, and you get about 12 lines if there's a bridge, maybe 15 lines. And a friend of mine named Charlie Craig, he's passed away now, but he had over 300 album cuts, a bunch of number ones. And when I drove to Nashville when I was 20 for the first time, you know, I met him and he said, you know, Nick, I'm gonna invite you into a songwriting session with some of my friends. I was like, awesome. He's like, but I want you to understand something. Like, you're creative. You seem like a good kid. You're a hustler, hard worker. So I'm going to invite you in, but what I want you to understand is that me and my friends between us probably have about 500 more hits than you do. I was like, duly noted. He said, so what I want you to do is I want you to bring your ideas. He goes, but I don't want you to fight just for your ideas. What the reason to collaborate is to write the best song in the room that day. It's not just to write the best song you can write. The reason I'm inviting you is to write the best song in the room that day. I use that now with all my interviews and with my conversations. Your goal, whenever you connect with someone on a home visit or whatever it is, or the phone call, is to have the best conversation that can be had in that moment. It's not to push your agenda on them. And in fact, when you listen and you have the best conversation you have in the moment, you learn a lot more and a lot of things go even better than you would imagine. So that's one of the best lessons I ever learned from being a songwriter is write the best song in the room that day or have the best conversation in that day. Also, I learned what makes a great band member. A great band member is not somebody you notice, it's somebody you notice when they're gone. That's the kind of person you want to be. You want to be the person that when you're not there, they notice. Not because you're overly loud or overly rambunctious, just, man, I miss AC. He's not here today. All right. It's a great one about storytelling, too. You are the sum of the stories you believe today, right now, about your past and your future. That is who you are. Who you are, I'll say it one more time, is the sum of the stories you believe about your past and your future. The best part about that is you can rewrite your past and you can author your future. How do you rewrite your past? Go back to things, just typically negative things that sort of give us that pit in our stomach. Go back and see what you learned from those things. And I guarantee you that it taught you something. And if you can embrace what it taught you rather than the way it made you feel, you can turn it into a positive experience. All right. Number six, unconventional best practices so you don't burn out. Again, I live an amazing, fun life, but I have to make sure I have three kids. I have a 19-year-old son, a 17-year-old son, and a 13-year-old daughter. And thankfully, they still like me. I've been married for almost 23 years. My wife still likes me, I think. And one thing that I learned early on, you're building a business, you just got to go, right? You're like, I just got to make this work. I had my first son a week after I took the bar exam, and my wife wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, and I wanted that for her. And so I was, $160,000 in student loan debt, had $2 million in real estate debt, and she wasn't going back to work, and I was making about 60 grand a year. Some of you probably resemble that. Anyway, so, when things started working, I'm speaking on stage, and I'm like, they like me. People really like me, and they're hiring me. I'm doing things, and my wife, since we're now, she's like, hey, remember we have kids together, right? I'm like, yeah. She's like, well, I didn't sign up to do this on my own. I'm like, oh, you're right. So we had to sit down. We had to figure out, what works for us to be, so that I can be out and do what I need to do to make money, so I can be fulfilled, she can be fulfilled, but I have good relationships with my family and friends. So one of the things that surprised a lot of people, I only travel 7 nights a month. And when the kids were younger, if I missed dinner, that counted as half a night, because that was a really good interacting time. I'm not telling you any of these things, you need to copy these. I'm just saying, think about what are the guardrails you need to put in your own life so that you don't end up in a situation where you have a failed marriage, a failed relationship, or you're broke, but you don't find out till 3 weeks after it already happened, right? I like one adventure a week. My favorite two subjects in school were PE and lunch, and they still are. And I like field trips. Anybody else like field trips? Well, there you go. I like one adventure a week. I go somewhere once a week, and I use my 7 nights a month. By the way, I break the rules sometimes. I know I'm breaking the rules, and I got to ask permission to break the rules, and we got to negotiate if I'm going to break the rules, right? It's like, might have to be an extra special something. We're going to Universal, or we're going to whatever, right? So sometimes, when COVID hit, all rules out the window. You just got to figure it out, right? So these are by no means self-righteous, and I'm human, and I break all the rules, not intentionally. But when I need to, we now have a framework that we can talk about it. So, and the best part about it is if I have 7 nights a month, as long as I'm being honest with my family and I'm not doing bad things, which I'm not going to do, I don't ever get questioned about how I want to use my nights. I just went and fished an international tournament with Guy Harvey for 5 days. We won the international bill fishing tournament, which is pretty cool. We went out with Guy Harvey, and I took my son. He's studying marine biology. He was on the research boat tagging mahi for the week. So that's how I went. I said the nights don't count. I'm taking my son. So we agreed on that. So this week I was in Atlanta. Atlanta cannot operate in snow, just for the record. Filmed with a guy named Bruce Deal. There's a book called Trust First. Incredible, incredible story. He's led thousands and thousands of people out of homelessness, recidivism, and other things. By the way, the cure for homelessness is not things, it's relationships, but you can learn that later. Again, my friend Nito Cobain has I call it Dr. Cobain's rule of thirds. I'll let him tell you because he's got a way more cool voice than I do, but I believe a life well lived is a life lived like this.
But I've always lived by one very simple mantra, which is I invest one third of my time and energy in earning, one third of my time and energy in learning, and one third of my time and energy in serving. And that has been a formula that has been fabulous for me.
One third earning, one third learning, one third serving. Seems right to me. Cool. Don't just be a good leader, be a leader who is good. What do I mean by that? I have a core value is visible character. I love manners. There's nothing I hate more than bad manners. And by the way, if you want to teach your kids, yourself, everyone to get better at manners, start using manners with Siri and Alexa, because it's training you on how to speak to people. I know it's a robot, but the more we allow robots to dehumanize us, the more we're going to not know how to interact. We've all seen it with, the younger generation. By the way, when I'm talking to people about the younger generation, I'm like, I've never met a generation who goes, man, these kids today really got it figured out. All right, so give them a little grace, right? But have visible character. Say please and thank you. At our office, if we have somebody who, if we have a client who lost a parent or is in the hospital or something happened, we send flowers. Or if I'm praying for somebody, I'll send an email and say, hey, I heard about this, I'm praying for you. You can do whatever works for you, but if you're praying for somebody and you don't take the opportunity to let them know, you miss an opportunity for them to feel loved, right? And so that's an example of visible character. All right, we also have a core value, no drama. So drama creates self-consciousness. I believe there's a fine line between self-awareness and self-consciousness. I want, like my kids, I want to be self-aware. I think one of the best superpowers in the world is to be self-aware. If you suck at singing, yet you think you're going to fill up an arena, it's probably not going to happen, right? But being self-aware can lead you to finding your gifts in life. I interviewed Daniel Negreanu. I think he's a 7-time World Series of Poker champion. Dropped out of high school at 16 to be a professional poker player. Imagine that conversation with your parents, right? It's worked out pretty well for him, but I said, Daniel, what do you think the number one skill is to be a World Series poker champion? He thought for about half a second. He goes, probably self-awareness. I go, do you think that might be the number one skill in everything in life? He goes, yeah, you're probably right. So, no drama. If we have drama between team members or family, or like, we're just going to sit down and talk about it, and then we're going to figure it out and we're going to move on. I also have a core value, you know, think out loud and act for the team. I used to not know how to have hard conversations. I'll be very honest. I just would avoid them. In a lot of cases, I just wouldn't hire you again. Like if I had a camera guy or someone else, and I just would sort of ignore it and move on, and you probably just never see me again. Now I've learned, I've done a lot of work with Chris Voss now, and Chris has taught me how to have hard conversations. His skill is actually, if you never split the difference, one of the greatest things he does is he can teach you how to have hard conversations, because they don't have to be combative. They can be extremely welcoming. Like I had a guy who we hired to consult for us recently, and he was putting me through this system that I'm sure someone needs that system, but I did not need the system. And I said, would it offend you if I was extremely direct with you? And he goes, no, man, not at all. But like I opened up the door, I asked it in a way, and that's a Chris Voss line, Chris Voss question, a way to brace somebody. And he has a whole system for getting upgrades at hotels too, but anyway. It's all about having the conversation you need to have. And then I actually want some conflict, because if everyone's agreeing with me, I know it's a bad idea, right? So you want some conflict, but you got to allow it. But then once you figure it out, you hash it out, you think out loud, you talk it out, but then you act for the team. And if someone starts going behind anyone's back and starts creating drama, we nip that in the bud. By the way, we hire, fire, and give people raises and promotions only by core values. How are you adhering to our core values? Ideally, you would do a monthly or quarterly check-in with your superiors and those who report to you, and all you're going to do is have them put a plus or a minus or an equals or where they think they are on each core value, and you're going to rate them, and if you're more than a number or two off, there's a conversation to be had in either direction, right? Cool. All right. But you have to find ways to codify this, ways to express this visibly to your team, your clients, and your prospects, right? So that's why I'm writing this all in a book now. I have multiple other books, and you need to find ways to express. All of you have core values. You may or may not have taken the time to express them. The reason why a business does well when someone starts it is because people like the way they work. They like their core values, right? They like who the person is. If you want to grow that business, you have to find ways to codify your core values so that when you bring people in, they're an extension of you. And then it's very obvious when they're not, and that's what will make your business not grow. So it's pretty easy once you dig into it. All right. Another core value of ours, deliver excellence consistently. There's a couple pictures of actors just because everyone knows who they are. If these people do not deliver excellence consistently, are they going to keep getting hired? No. And Clint Eastwood is making his millionth movie right now, whatever, because he has standards. He shows up and he delivers with excellence. This next clip I'm going to show you does not look excellent. I grabbed it from, it's like from the 80s, another one from Nito, but I like how he says it.
And be excellent Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And take Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday off. That wouldn't make any sense. You're either an excellent person or an ordinary person.
There you go. Can't take days off, right? You can take days off to recharge yourself, but can't take days off being excellent. All right. Number 9, serve others well. The way I like to serve, I like to be responsive. So I talk about this from sort of we've all experienced this, but like, you know, go back to grade school. If you pass the note down that says, you know, do you want to be my girlfriend or boyfriend? Check yes or no. And it doesn't come back quickly. How do you feel about it? Not so good. At lunch, you probably want to go sit in the bathroom stall, right? You don't want to see anybody. So people still feel the same way. It's very easy. Like, I don't get it. I don't like it when people, they say, oh, I'm too busy. You can't answer email, whatever. I mean, you do you. But to me, I think being excellent and serving others well is being responsive. Even if like, hey, I got this. I'm on a shoot right now. Let me get back to you in a few days. I probably do this to a fault, being responsive. It's not often a friend or someone will text me, and I say, hey, I'll get right back to you. Here's my current situation. I send them a picture, and it's Dolly Parton's in front of me. I'm doing an interview in the middle of an interview because I don't want them to think I don't care about them. So that might be a little over the top, but be responsive, right? People want to know that you're paying attention, you care. Be generous. Be generous with your time. Be generous with, you know, whatever it is you're called to give, time, talent, treasure, whatever. I have a rule that if someone is kind and asks nicely, I will, on my schedule, I will always give them time. I'll go to lunch with I'll go speak at a high school. I'll go to lunch with a college student. I'll do whatever because so many people have helped me on the way up. Why would I not help others, right? And it always comes back to you. I think that one of my favorite things is the you don't owe me anything attitude. That's how I approach Larry King. That's how I approach. I did Brian Tracy's documentary. I heard Brian's here. I haven't seen him in a few years, which is great. But I approached Brian with, hey, you don't owe me anything, but how can I serve you? Like, how can I be of help? And it always seems to work out because turns out people like being served, right? This is also, I have a no a-hole policy. Just life's too short. If that's you, I just don't have time for you. There's plenty of other great people in the world, so it doesn't matter how famous you are. By the way, I've worked with a lot of people who are famous, but I am in no way enamored by fame. I'm only enamored by people who are so good at what they do, the world cannot ignore them. So you'll notice that, like with Brees' story, that to me is every bit as big or bigger than some of my favorite people. You know, as a songwriter, Dolly Parton. Dolly Parton wrote I Will Always Love You by herself. Like, I don't know. Think about that later. All right. Hard work is required. That's just a given, right? I mean, you can't just loaf on that. You can work the way you want to. You can work smart. But ultimately, to live up to what you are supposed to accomplish here on earth, yeah, it's going to take some hard work. Here's a clip from our friend Brian Tracy from the documentary made on Brian.
Turning points in life. I was living in a small one-room apartment where you had to fold down the bed, and it had a little kitchen, and it was 35 degrees outside, and I was working carrying materials on a construction job. And I'd get up at 5 o'clock in the morning and start taking buses. It took me 3 buses to get to my workplace, and then it would take me 2-3 buses to get back. So I'd get back by about 7 or 8. And by this time, I didn't have any money, and I would be tired from carrying. That's all I was smart enough to do or educated enough to do was carry building materials. And one day I sat at my little table in my little kitchen, and I'm tired out, and I'm sitting there. And that's when I had this revelation. I realized that this was my life, that unless I changed or did something different, this was going to be my life. I looked at the people I worked on, the construction crew. Some of them are 30 and 40 years old, and they're still doing the same basic minimum wage construction work. And I realized that I was responsible for my own life. And even to this day, I still remember that almost like fireworks. I am responsible. I am responsible. I'm responsible. Nothing will change unless I change.
Nothing will change unless I change. That's the way to put it, right? Jack Canfield says, act as if you're 100% responsible 100% of the time. You aren't always, but when you aren't, you can't do anything about it. You might as well act as if you were, right? The other thing, too, is if you want to build a championship team, you must have A players. I know there's some of you probably got a B-pluser in there somewhere, a B-minus, maybe even a C-player just because they've been around a long time. Michael Jordan would not allow anything other than an A-player in his team because he could not serve himself and his team well if he did. So think about that. This is an example I love, too. There's a book called Unreasonable Hospitality, incredible book. Will Gadara, I'll paraphrase what he says, but he says, luxury is just more. Like, if I want to give someone luxury, it's just more. By the way, it may not be what they want, but he said, hospitality is thoughtfulness and generosity. It's very different than luxury. So think about every one of you in some way, shape, or form, your business should be reminiscent of a hospitality business. How are you showing up and serving? How are you giving people thoughtfulness and generosity? And if you think about your business that way, a lot of things will change. All right, last one I got here for you. Everyone talks about ROI, return on investment. All the things that I do, I tell people, I have no idea what the return on investment is going to be because how are you going to use it? Like if someone asks me, what's the return on investment of going to law school? I'm like, I have no idea. But I know I've made money by having gone to law school and being licensed to practice law, especially because I don't practice law, because if I practiced law, I'd just be another lawyer, right? So differentiation, what makes you different makes you. Money is the cheapest commodity in the world. Everyone tries to measure things by money. But what do the wealthiest people in the world do? They spend money on experiences. So I focus on, I think, what you can focus on in your business, for your clients, for your employees too, your team members. What's the return on experience? Like, if someone spends time with you or spends money with you, what's the return on experience going to be? It's a different way to measure it. I actually have a movie studio called Abundant Studios where all of them, because if you haven't figured this out yet, I'll share with you. Documentaries are not profitable. They're not. We just got shortlisted. There's an award. It's called the International Documentary Awards. They are the precursor to the Oscars. And we were named in the top 20 documentaries in the world out of 77 documentaries with Brees' story. And we hadn't even started showing it yet. They said, well, great, which film festivals have you screened at? We're like, we haven't screened any. They're like, no. You know, like Sundance, like South by Southwest, like which ones you screened at? We're like, none of them. They're like, well, how did you get on this list? We're like, there was a deadline and there was an award and we just entered. And they said, well, most people spend the entire year doing all the festivals just to get on this list. So now we're actually having to explain to the film festivals, we haven't screened anywhere yet. We're still eligible, but we're on this list. And the Oscar nomination just came out. Out of the 20 shortlisted, 4 out of 5 of the Oscar nominations are on that list. So thank you. And we weren't even eligible for an Oscar, so maybe next year. We'll see. We'll see what guy has in store. But my point is, this movie studio, because documentaries are meant to just share the best stories in the world. That doesn't always make you money, right? So I have a group of people that are clients of mine, entrepreneurs and professionals, who join my studio called Abundant Studios, and they give $25,000 to $50,000 a year on a 4-year commitment to get a return on experience. And I say, hey, I want to tell these stories, and I can't give you any return. I actually make them sign a document saying this is not an investment. This is an investment in myself. This is an experience. It's like a mastermind, right? Because what I realized is that what this is a really great steak dinner or sushi dinner, and search your favorite thing there, not a poker match. And when you remove, the reason why people hate investing in movies is because everyone lies to them, right? I did the documentary the movie Sound of Freedom is based on. I can tell you all the math backflips people doing there. Wild. I own the rights to Sound of Freedom too, so we'll see what happens. But so I have this group of people who I say, hey, I'm going to give you an incredible experience. You can come around the world with me. You can meet all these incredible people. My stories will become your stories. And you get these experiences. And when you have these experiences, you will be the most interesting doctor, dentist, lawyer, butcher, baker, candlestick maker in the world. When you walk into my clients, I got a client, Kevin. He's a credit card processor. No offense, but that ain't the most interesting business. When you walk in his office, It's a great business. It's not the most interesting one. I wish I had that just cha-ching every day, right? All right. But when you walk into Kevin's office, he's got all these movie posters. He's got pictures of him at the Emmys. He's got, like, he shows up differently. That's a return on experience. So one of the things I want you to focus on is, what are things that you can do that don't cost you a lot of money that can increase the experience your clients have with you? Because then they will love to refer you when the experience is great. I mean, how many times do you have a business that, like, really impresses you and you're like, man, I would refer them anytime. And now you have a resource and now you have a friend in the business. When you have a friend in the business, you don't go anywhere else, right? So just an example of ROE. These are a couple of things we've done together with Abundant Studios. I just interviewed Jelly Roll for the second time. That's a fascinating dude. All right. Kristen Chenoweth, Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson was awesome. We interviewed him during COVID. And, you know, everyone around was Mr. Johnson this, Mr. Johnson this, Mr. Johnson that. And you only have 10 minutes, Mr. Johnson this. So I'm like sitting there like nervous. I'm like, Mr. Johnson, oh, you just call me Magic. You know, and just from there on, just smooth and kind and nice. And that's what you want, right? I have a couple stories about celebrities that were not who you'd want them to be. I won't give any names, but one of them rhymes with Stephen A. Smith. And, you know, you just want people to be good, nice people, right? He just was not interested in talking to me unless the camera was on. I'm like, you know, I was just here to hang out, dude. All right, anyway, cool. All right, so this is, all this is coming out in my newest book, Creativity Protects You. I'm working on it now. Hopefully, did anyone find it valuable? Anything valuable in here? Okay, all right, thank you. Appreciate it. It's really interesting because I never thought people wanted to hear these things. And again, I'd be on a podcast like, you know what? I was thinking about, I came back this morning at 6 a.m. because I was on, and they're like, 7 nights, why that? So just, it's been a framework that's allowed me to do a lot. And like I said, I'm sharing it in a book. I will share with you why a book. A book gives you more credibility than anything in the world. People can see how much you know, right? Seth Godin says this: writing a book is a tremendous experience. It builds credibility. It's a living engine of marketing, idea spreading, working every day to deliver your message with authority. You should write one, right? So I was speaking with Howard, and I've published a lot of books and a lot of authors, and he said, hey, would you give my audience the opportunity to become authors, to become best-selling authors? I said, sure, let's create something together. Having a book out is a competitive advantage that's tough to beat. Why most books never get written or published is lack of skill, lack of time, lack of money, or worse, they never get noticed due to inexperience in the industry. There's a smarter way to write a book. Howard and myself and AC are putting a book together called Phenomenal Business Success. It's going to be like chicken soup for the soul. It is going to have one chapter from up to 25 authors max. Each person will share their story of phenomenal business success, how they serve their clients, how they serve their family, how they serve others, whatever it is that has helped them to have phenomenal success in that realm. We have a proven system for doing this. We've had 20 years of experience in book publishing, which again, go back and tell 17-year-old me this and I will laugh you out of the room. We've helped 3,400 authors become best-selling authors. We've published more than 200 books from some of the best and biggest names in the world. The reason why people like to work with us, we're the first person ever to do this, and we have done this forever. We guarantee your book will be a bestseller on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Almost all the time, I said on a webinar the other day, I said 99.9% of the time it's on Amazon, and someone said, that is a very tough statistic. Could you quantify that? I'm like, dude, I'm being like hyperbolic, all right? Like, give me a break. So it's usually on Amazon, but sometimes Amazon has glitches, so I say, or Barnes & Noble, and if Amazon changes their name or stops selling books or something, it's that. But we will make this book a bestseller on a list we do not control. It's a third-party list, which qualifies it as a best-selling book because it's on a bestsellers list. I've had people say, oh, a business bestseller is when you sell more than 20,000 copies. No, it has to be on a bestseller list. That's how it works. All right. But what we do is we offer more than a book deal. So I'm going to invite you guys, for those of you up to 25 of you who want to be a part of this, there is an investment to be involved. Surprise. I had a friend the other day say, hey, Nick, I know you want some better results here, but do you want hobbyist results or professional results? I was like, professional results. Like, then it's going to require professional investment. I was like, ooh, got it. Okay. So what we're offering here is more than a book deal. I'll share a little bit with you. I'll answer some questions. They will have applications to be a part of this. If you get involved with us, we have an author consultation. We have business agents who have done this for hundreds of other people. They help you figure out how to write what you want to talk about that's going to help you and your business. You don't make money by selling books, by the way. You make money by having a book. So what you want to talk about in this book, our business agents will help you figure out how to do that. You're then going to meet with a ghostwriter because most of you are not Shakespeare, me included. Everyone's going to work with the same ghostwriter, so the book has one big look and feel, just like Chicken Soup for the Soul, so it's quality. We put out a press release that says you've been selected. Once you've been approved, you've been selected to co-author this book with leading experts from around the world. So before the book even comes out, you can add to your bio, your email signature from the author of the forthcoming book, Phenomenal Business Success. So you can start using these things. When people search for you online, find your credibility, they're going to find this press release that you were selected among other experts around the world. We have distribution through Ingram Books. Ingram is the largest distributor of nonfiction books in the world. What does that mean? It means that it'll be available on all the major booksellers. It means that we are not going to spend enough money, none of us, to put them in bookstores that nobody goes to. But just between us, I'll share a little secret with you. If you want your book in a bookstore, it's called reverse shoplifting. You take your book into the store with you, and then you buy it. And then they go, oh, we're out of these. We need to order more. And then they order more into the system. Okay, so this is a little secret for you. All right, so this is Phenomenal Business Success. Every author gets 25 custom copies of the book. So basically, this is my cover on the book. Each of you will have your own photo on the cover of the book. All right, you get 25 hardcover copies. You get the ebook to use it however you want. We do a book rally to make sure the book hits the bestseller list. We give you social media assets. And I've got 4 minutes and 10 seconds. I got a video that's like 3 minutes, and I do not want to get hooked. So I'm going fast. All right, strategic social media promotion. We guarantee your book will be a bestseller on at least one of these lists. We have a podcast called Beyond the Book that you will be welcomed onto. And actually, we have an event in March 26th, that you're invited to just as a part of being a part of this. It's free to you to attend. Called the Red Carpet Society. This is a quick video we put together about it. Basically, you get 3 photo shoots and video shoot, so you end up with a sizzle reel and 3 photo shoots, different style photo shoots. You actually, because of the timing of this, you can use that photo shoot, like my photo on the other book was from one of those photo shoots. You can use that photo on the cover of the book. You also, because you are a best-selling author, you get invited to our Success Summit in Beverly Hills. We own the National Academy of Best-Selling Authors. I was going to the Grammys, the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, the Emmys, National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences, and no one was honoring best-selling authors. So we started it. We have honored Michael Gerber, Brian Tracy, a bunch of other people. And by the way, someone started those at some point too, right? All right. This video is slightly longer than 2 minutes and 40 seconds.
At the Celebrity Branding Agency, we build personal brands worth sharing, and we have a philosophy that the best story always wins.
And the recipient of the Quilly Award. And the recipient of the XP Award for Speaker.
Since we started sharing the stories of entrepreneurs from all across the world, we've helped nearly 4,000 entrepreneurs and professionals in more than 70 countries.
This system is more than just how you can grow your business. How do you help more people? What's the way that you can get in front of your audience, build that trust and credibility that you need so that they can know you, like you, and want to do business with you?
So how do you start crafting a personal brand, crafting your story to stand out in a crowded marketplace, in a world full of noise?
It all hinges on their ability to be able to tell a story and to have a story that other people want to share for them. From book publishing to websites to TV shows and even up to feature films, our business agents will help you customize a strategy that works specifically for you and helping you to share your story in your marketplace.
And a great place to start building that story worth sharing is at the annual Success Summit in Los Angeles, California. Every year, I bring together the best and brightest minds in the world for speaking, writing, and thought leadership, all in one location to collaborate and share best practices for the year that's coming.
I would let a little bit more of my story come out with real emotion.
The world needs you and your unique, unrepeatable miracle that you are.
So just become a person to them. Then suddenly everything changes.
When you're at the summit, you really have an opportunity to spend time with people that are at the top of their field, but also be able to learn new and exciting ways to make a greater impact in the lives of the people around you and in your communities.
Leadership is the example you set for the people you serve. And who are the people that I'm serving? Now, sometimes that's your coworkers and sometimes that's your family, but a lot of times it's your community. Sometimes it's strangers.
I remember my very first summit was in 2014, and my role was to help direct clients to the red carpet where they were going to get their interview after receiving their award. And so I had a unique opportunity to shake the hands and congratulate every single person as they came off stage. It was really in that moment where everything fully materialized for me to celebrate what entrepreneurs are doing. And it became something that I wanted to be a part of over and over again. And now I have the opportunity to help these clients from being on stage.
We founded the National Academy of Best-Selling Authors and the National Association of Experts, Writers, and Speakers to honor best-selling authors, thought leaders, and experts from all across the globe who are willing to share their knowledge and enlighten the world so we can all have a greater impact on the globe.
You get to meet people where a lot of times friendships and even business relationships will build from that. And it's been exciting to watch over the years how many of those have happened.
It's just really great to be in a room with like-minded people and people who just want more for the world and for themselves at the same time. That's a great combination.
It's first class all the way. You know, Chris Voss has become a sensation in the last 5 years, and last time I'm taking my picture with him and I'm shaking his hands, you know?
At the summit, you'll be hearing from some of the top speakers around the world from stage, and you're also gonna leave as a best-selling author with your very own Quilly Award, or as a recognized expert writer and speaker with your own XP Award.
Now I know what stars truly feel like coming off stage.
Awesome, 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 awesome.
I feel so supported, so recognized.
And there's a lot of amazing people here who actually really understand the bigger picture, and they're really collectively doing things to bring about the change.
No one's going to believe your story until you tell it.
My story mattered, and it was up to me to make it count.
Now that's a story to write home about and share with the world. And by the way, we help with that too by creating all the media you need, red carpet photos, videos, sizzle reels that you can take back and share with the world and continue to use to grow your brand and create that story that others want to share for you.
I've met so many people from all over the world here, and they're all talking about the same thing. How can we tell a story to help other people? It doesn't get any better than that, man.
What's left is to see you here in LA.
See you in LA.
All right, that's our event coming up in September. Your book will be out and will be a bestseller before that. We already have Chris Voss again confirmed, Lisa Nichols confirmed, Jack Canfield confirmed. The thing that people tell me about that event that I loved, I was like, Nick, I'm so shocked. There's such amazing people here. I'm like, yeah, they're just like you. You know, like attracts like. We attract good. We have a no a-hole rule, right? So there's red carpet photos, videos, and I was given another 7 minutes and 30 seconds, so I don't have to rush quite as fast. You get red carpet photos, videos, all sorts of stuff. My friend Bob Guinea, if anyone ever saw The Bachelor, my friend Bob hosts our award ceremony photos for us. And by the way, you don't win these awards. I always tell people, like, don't be corny. Like, you don't win these awards. You receive them. I have 3 gold records. I didn't win them. I got them when I was eligible to receive them. If you're a best-selling author, we certify best-selling books that we don't do also. You receive a Quilly to commemorate that, that achievement. That's a quick video of Bob. We'll skip this probably, but...
And the recipient of the Quilly Award for Rise Up, Dawn Matera Corsi.
So everyone gets video of them receiving their award, and they do a red carpet interview afterwards. So the whole point being, this is like an entire media program. It includes 2 free events, and you get a bunch of media, and you meet a bunch of amazing people. The book is called Phenomenal Business Success. You guys can pass out the applications. A couple things. We're inclusive. We want to include you. This is our business. But we've had people like in a real estate book before applying. They were being indicted on 7 counts of mortgage fraud. Not a good time. All right? So tell us. There's a thing in there that tells, like, hey, do you have a criminal history, whatever, like, sometimes that's part of your message. Sometimes that's all right. You don't have to tell us about traffic tickets, all right? We don't need to know about those. Just share what you think you need to share with us. Like I said, it includes custom covers, 25 books. This is a testimonial I think I'm going to skip. Yeah, I'll skip that. Kathy Lee, I'm not going to read what she said about me, but she says nice things about me, which is good, or else I wouldn't put them up here. Chris Voss also says nice things about me. We do what we say. That's basically what we do. You know, Jack, that's the shorter one. Nick does everything he promises and then some. I'll take that from that guy. He's a good dude. All right, so what you get, it's all in the format. I've sort of gone over it. It's literally a bunch of stuff. See if I can get this to come up here. Well, that is not advancing. That's fun. All right, well, there's literally a bunch of stuff. Maybe it's just coming slower than I want it. Author consultation with a business agent, professionally crafted chapter by a ghostwriter, a press release. We get it distributed in the marketplace. Personalized copy, 25 with custom covers. You can buy more when we go to print if you want them. You get an ebook to use however you want. You get a pre-launch book rally and other things that are coming up. Strategic social media promotions. We guarantee the book's going to be a bestseller. We put out another press release when it hits the bestseller list. You get on our podcast, Beyond the Book, so you can talk about your book and you can share it another way. You get inducted in the National Academy of Bestselling Authors, invitation to our 2025 Red Carpet Society to get all your photos and sizzle reels and everything else. You also get an invitation to our Bestseller Summit in Hollywood in September. You get it's in Beverly Hills now because Hollywood got a little dicey. And you get a free ticket to that as well. You have to pay your airfare and room, but we cover the entire event. And so this whole thing, by the way, if you did this on your own, because I've done it, my new book will cost me well over 6 figures, but I sort of priced out each of these things. It would be that. For doing this book with us, you can do it in 3 different ways. It's an $18,000 program, so you can do 6 payments of $3,000. You can do a 1 pay of $15,000 because it's easier for us on accounting, or if you want to cash flow it, we've all been there, and I'll be there again, I'm sure. 12 monthly payments of $1,750 comes out to $21,000. So that's how you can participate in this. We will take 25 authors. We will be in the back of the room. If you have questions, there's a break. I'll be back there. We're happy to answer your questions. When you turn in your applications, they'll be numbered in the order they were turned in to make sure we get it. If for some reason you are not, like, you can select your payment option. You'll find out it's Friday today, but by Monday we'll get back to you with mostly acceptances. If there is a rejection, we don't keep your money. We return that. We return your deposit. And then people also often ask me about royalties. We keep the books priced low enough that they sell. That's what we want to do. We also want to keep them in stock. The last thing I want to do is make you a best-selling author and someone says, where can I get your book? And you say Amazon, and it says no longer in stock. So what we do, we keep the books around $20 typically, and the royalties would be about $1 a book. And you can do the math with 25 authors. We're not going to sell millions of books. Sorry to break your heart. But we're going to make it hit the bestseller list. And I decided a long time ago, for my very first book, I did not want to send 37-cent checks every quarter to people. So here's what we do with the royalties. Half the royalties go to the publishing company to keep the book in print because we want to keep it credible. The other half we put into other nonprofits all across the globe. We've bought laptops for orphans. We've helped raise money for children's cancer research. So when you go on a podcast or a radio interview and you promote the book and you talk about it, you're able to say, hey, you know what, and when someone buys this book, I'm not even making the money. It goes to support different nonprofits around the world. So we thought that was a better way to do it. Yeah, cool. So that's all I got for you. I got 2 minutes if anyone has a question. If not, I can be at the back table. Anyone have a question? Sir.
Give it up for Nick. Was this phenomenal or what? So happy to have him here.
Thank you, sir.
Can they buy their book and then resell it to their community?
Absolutely. You can do that. You know, we've had clients do that. I will tell you this. I made my first 7 figures in business by touring around the country, paying my own way, paying for my hotel, paying for my travel, and giving away 1,000 books because it allowed me to get in rooms. Once I was an author, a best-selling author, it allowed people, I had the credibility that people wanted me in front of their rooms. So I would tour and go to rooms like this where I'd say, hey, you don't have to pay me to speak. I'll cover my own way and I'll give everyone in the room a book if you'll just let me talk to them about how I could help them.
Right.
And so you could do that. You can sell them for 20. I sold them for 20 bucks in the back of the room and you make 500 bucks. You get a good dinner out of it. You know, however you want. And when we go to press, we will give you an offer to, if you want to get 100, 250, 500, 1,000. We can get you more books at any time of your custom covered books. However, when we go to print, we're printing the most. So they're the least expensive then. They're more expensive later.
So after that, about how much would it cost them if they buy, like, you know, I don't know, 500 books or a couple hundred books or whatever after the fact?
It depends on paper shortages. We had that for a while, but I think 10 bucks a book, somewhere around there.
Okay. Yeah, so they could make, you know, 10 bucks a book when they go into small.
Right. And the more you order, again, the less it is. So don't hold me that, but it's, you know, we sell them to you at wholesale. I mean, we get them.
Perfect. All right. So give it up again for Nick.